Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. I was sitting one day just doing some studying. I think I was going through Proverbs and just thinking, what kind of Christian is God looking for? I mean, what kind of, let me change the word, what kind of church member does God want here at this church? What kind of Christian is he looking for? Now, if you've got something to write, I'm going to give you four words at this moment. I want you to write down. Turn the white page in the back of your Bible and write down. But there's four words. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, if you turn there, it tells you the kind of person God's looking for, the kind of Christian God's looking for. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but what kind of man is God looking for? What's the word? A faithful man who can find. Now, I read that, and I think, what's it mean to be faithful? What is a faithful person? Faithful man, faithful woman, faithful church member, faithful husband, faithful wife? What's the word faithful actually mean? Now, I looked through several dictionaries, Bible dictionaries, Webster's dictionary, Encyclopedia dictionary, and there's a whole bunch of definitions. Most of them use the word full of faith. Well, that doesn't take much. But I've come up with four words that really describes what it means to be faithful. And I'm going to give you these four words. I want you to write them down. And I think if we just get these in our life and practice them, then someday when you face the Lord, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's four words out of all the definitions I've come up with. Let me think. I've had so many definitions of what loyal, worthy of trust, sincere, honest, trustworthy, true, steadfast, constant, loyalty, full of faith. But I've come up with four words, I think, that describe the word faithful. One's the word firm, F-I-R-M, firm. And I put this word down. That's not my favorite word, but that's one of the words that comes with the word firm. And that means unswerving adherence to a person or thing. Unswerving. In 1 Timothy 1:6, it talks about some that has swerved from the faith. Unswerving. The person, of course, is Jesus Christ. The thing is the Word of God. Unswerving adherence to a person or a thing. I can name you, just my own experience, dozens of people that have swerved. In 1 year's time, I had two good friends, preachers, that swerved. And they're no longer preaching. Man, one of them had been preaching 40 years. And he swerved because of the lust of the flesh. Swerving. If we need, if we're going to be faithful, we've got to be unswerving. Firm in what we believe. And the Word of God. We need to not swerve what this book teaches. Listen, you don't need a lot of so-called new translations, new versions. Just stick with good old King James. I made a note. Some of these modern translations are supposed to help you to understand the Bible better. In Job 6:6, this is what King James says. It says, is there any taste in the white of an egg? You understand that? You know what? Now, I'll give you, this is funny, but it's actually in one of these new translations. It still says, is there any taste in the white of an egg? It says, is there any taste in the slime of a purslane? What in the world is a purslane? Easy to understand, right? No, we don't need to swerve. Let's just stand faith on the faith of our fathers. So the first thing that describes the word faithful is the word firm. That's not my favorite word. The second word that describes it is the word staunch, S-T-A-U-N-C-H, staunch. This is a strong word. This word means stubborn, stubborn. Unwillingness to be turned aside. What's it take to turn you aside? I pastored a church for 25 years, and I said I was on the backside of the desert there for 25 years. But some people, boy, they come out strong. It's kind of like a Roman candle. Boy, they light up the sky, but they fade out. They were not staunch. They were willing to be turned aside. They were not stubborn about what they believed. Now, some of us are stubborn about the wrong things, but you ought to be stubborn about what this book says. I'm not going to change what it says. I'm going to stand by what it says. If it says it, I'm going to practice it. You've seen these plaques. In fact, I used to have one. It says, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You can take out the middle phrase. If God said it, that settles it, folks. Whether you believe it or not. So, what's it mean to be faithful? Firm, unswerving, staunch. That's stubborn. That's not my favorite word. The third one I came up with, the word steadfast. Steadfast. That means not wishy-washy, not changeable as the wind. Steadfast. Not like a wave of the sea tossed here and there. I've been talking to some folks in the last few years in some of these cults. Well, I was once a Baptist. Well, what happened? They were tossed back and forth. Is it changed what they believe? We'll be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we'll be steadfast. And not wishy-washy. Not like a wave of the sea. But my favorite word of all in definition of faithfulness is the word resolute. R-E-S-O-L-U-T-E, resolute. And that simply means this. A determination that cannot, underline that word cannot, a determination that cannot be broken down. It cannot be broken down. I've got to make a little note here. Unbreakable steadfastness. Unbreakable steadfastness. What's it take to break you down? To take you away from the church? Take away from the Bible? Take away from what you know is right from the Word of God? Some people are so easily broken down. Now, I've only and 56 years of preaching. Soon, in fact, this month I start 57 years of preaching. I've only found one person that got saved and came back and says, my wife's giving me so much trouble over this. Is there a way to back up on it? Well, how do you answer that? I says, if you really got saved, you got eternal life. It's forever. But his wife broke him down. He dropped out of church. What's it take to break you down? I don't think you'll have a good relationship with husband and wife, but our faith should not be broken down. I like the word resolute. All right, let's get these four words, and we're going to get to a Sunday school lesson. First word is what? Firm. What's that mean? Unswerving. Second word is staunch. What's that mean? Stubborn. I like that. Third one is steadfast, not like a wave of the sea, not wishy-washy. But the most important word, I think, is the word resolute. A determination that cannot, and I would put the word will not, be broken down. I'm going to stand fast on it. In Hebrews 3:2, it says Moses was faithful. I like to look about Moses. He's one of my heroes of the Bible. Moses was not a man that was strong personality. He was bashful. In fact, he's called the meekest man that ever lived. But yet God used him. He said, preacher, I'm not outspoken. Now, down south, we use the word shy, bashful. In central Pennsylvania, they used a different word. When we first moved up there, they said my neighbor was strange. Now, down south, that has a different meaning. Get away from my guy. It meant the same thing, that he's just a person that's not real outgoing. Not outspoken. That's the way Moses was. You don't have to have a dynamic personality to be faithful to God. You don't have to be rich to be faithful to God. You don't have to be talented to be faithful to God. Just have to be willing. Be steadfast. Be staunch. Be faithful to God. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, it says Daniel was faithful. Daniel was faithful. Do you realize when he was carried away to Babylon? Now, I've been preaching several years, and I was at a church, and they asked me if I'd teach a Sunday school lesson. They said, we'd like for you to keep the series going. It was on Daniel. So I took the little cover, and I looked at that, and I said, Daniel was either 14, 15, or 16 when he was carried into Babylon. Just a kid. So as a kid, a teenager, he made the decision, I'll not eat the king's meat, nor drink his wine. And when the statue was raised, he was sitting in the gate. Years later, he's still faithful. You know when he was putting the lions in, he was in his 80s. That means all those years, he remained resolute. The king couldn't break him down. The king's counselors couldn't break him down. He just simply stood for what he believed. He said, it's not wrong to drink the king's wine, to eat the king's meat, offered idols. And he wouldn't do it. It's wrong not to pray to God. And he kept praying. So Daniel was faithful all those years. In New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4:17, says Timothy was faithful. He's a young man. I contrast him with Demas, who was not faithful. They both had the same opportunity. They both associated with the Apostle Paul, maybe the greatest preacher outside of Jesus Christ himself. But they both, man, what opportunity Demas had. They blew it. We don't think of Demas, man, here's a faithful young man. No, but Timothy, yes, he was faithful. He was faithful. We know these people. We know Moses, Daniel, Timothy, but who was Tychius? Don't know much about him. Was he a song leader? Did he pass out tracts? What did he do? I don't know. Except Ephesians 6:21 and Colossians 4:7 both say he was faithful. Maybe the world will never know you, but if God can say you're faithful, that's what's important. Faithful. The Bible records faithful fathers, faithful mothers, faithful preachers, prophets, faithful just common everyday people. I want to tell you a little story I read years ago, and we'll get the lesson in a moment. Back at the turn of the 18th century and 19th century, there was a preacher in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It was a great orator. Of course, now I didn't know him. I wouldn't want him, to be honest. But they said people traveled all over the state just to hear that man preach. When he died, the middle church got together and said, what are we going to do? Where are we going to find somebody to take his place? They tried out several preachers. The attendance started dropping off. People quit coming from all around to hear because they didn't have the same man. They got a young fellow in to preach. And man, he got up there on Sunday morning. He preached his very best sermon. Man, he let them have it. And he thought, I did pretty good, I guess. Sunday night he came back. He preached away. And I guess he thought, well, I guess I did pretty good again. After the service, the deacons met with him and says, young man, we're going to be honest with you. You're the preacher we've had before. All the hair going out of the balloon. And by all standards, you'd probably be a failure. But we like you. We want you to be the pastor. And here's what we're going to do. He said, the men are here, we're going to meet every day and pray for you. And they did. The men of that church met every day and prayed for that young man. You know who that young man was? J. Wilbur Chapman. Maybe one of the greatest preachers Pennsylvania's ever produced. And it didn't stop there. What made a J. Wilbur Chapman? Men just like you, and I'm sure the ladies too, praying for him every day, made him into a great preacher, greatly used of God, but didn't stop there. When I want you to keep in mind, these men in Philadelphia prayed for their pastor, made a J. Wilbur Chapman. At the close of his ministry, resigned the church, went out in evangelism, and started preaching. And through his ministry came a Billy Sunday through J. Wilbur Chapman's ministry. You see, Chapman was holding meetings, and he picked up Billy Sunday to travel with him. And the meeting was going so great, and he was supposed to be in another place. He said, well, Billy, take these 8 sermons and go start a meeting down there, and I'll join you next week. So Billy Sunday went down and preached those 8 meetings. Chapman came next week and took over and said, take those 8 sermons, go down to the next place. And what produced Billy Sunday? Those men in Philadelphia praying for their preacher. You never know what you may produce by faithful prayer for your preacher, your missionaries, your Sunday school teachers, your workers, each other that needs, God still answers prayer. We'll be faithful in praying. Faithfulness can be hindered. We're human. We get discouraged. Our faithfulness can lag. We can discourage other people by our words, our actions, or our silence, and sometimes lack of these. But if you don't remember anything else this morning, would you mark this down in your mind? Faithfulness to Christ ought to be the goal of every Christian. Above everything else, I want to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Faithful to Him in everything in life. I was going to look up different places in the Bible where it says God's faithful to us, but there's too many for a Sunday school lesson. But let me give you two. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation taking you, but such common to man, but God is what? Faithful. You can always depend on God. Now, just suppose you face some temptation and say, well, God says, you've yielded that too many times, just let you go. No, you always depend on God. Or 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just forgive. Suppose you got down this morning, you got down on your knees and said, dear Lord, I've done this. Well, if you've done that too many times, I'm going to forgive you this time. We'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? But you can always depend on God. Would that He could always depend on us. Now, I want to give you 3 points and for a lesson. Just simple points. Number one, this is all what the Bible, what God requires. Says, and He's looking for a faithful man. Number one, you be faithful. Number two, don't be hindered in faithfulness by other people. Number three, don't hinder other people by your lack of faithfulness. You be faithful, don't be hindered by others, and don't hinder others by your lack of faithfulness. This is Sunday school, not church. I'm going to try to hurry through this, but 1 Corinthians 4:2, what's that say? Somebody find that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. All right, who does that requiring? God does. What's a steward? That you're a steward. It's a manager. God's given you something. He's given you some ability. He's given you life, breath, all, and you've got some ability you can use for God. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody plays instruments. But everybody's got something they can do. If it's nothing else, just giving out a gospel tract or inviting somebody to come to church. Using telephone to get invite somebody to come with you to church. You've got something you can do. And God requires, not the church, not the pastor, God requires that we be found faithful. All right, in every area of our life, we're to be faithful. At home, at work, at school, at play, at church. Now, it's easy to be faithful inside this building, right? But God wants faithfulness outside this building, wherever you are, in season, out of season. I had some people in my church. We live right in the mountains of Pennsylvania. The church, in fact, up on the side of the mountain. And some men were faithful all year long until hunting season. Mm-hmm. They were faithful all year long until fishing season. No matter what the season of the year is, we ought to be faithful. Some Christians kind of like the little brook that dried up in the summer and froze over in the wintertime. It's only good a couple times during the year. No, we need to be faithful. Now, let me give you very quickly, be faithful, number one, in church attendance. Be faithful in church attendance. I've heard every excuse imaginable not to come to church. If you start making an excuse, you better make it to God, not to the pastor or to the church. It better be one that God would accept, not something, not like the fellow down in North Carolina said he couldn't come to church because Sunday's the only time during the weekend to let his beard rest. Whatever that means. We're to be faithful. I think I told this story here years ago. I was in Periopolis, Pennsylvania, and it was Sunday morning. I got there early. I had a key to the church. It had big glass doors. And I was there standing in the vestibule, and this brand new Ford Fairlane drove up, actually kind of pulled up on the sidewalk. And this fellow, 92 years of age, got out walking with two canes, struggling in and out, opened the door for him. And the first thing he said to me was, "I escaped." I thought, "Oh, brother, what have we here? Escaped from where?" And he said, "I'm sorry, tell me a story." He said, "I'm a member of this church." He said, "Last year I was in a terrible accident in the car. Broke both my legs, broke my hip." He said, "I was in the hospital for 6 months. He said, I got out a couple months ago. My daughter's keeping me. And I told her I want to go to church. So she took me to that church down the road there. They don't preach the gospel." I told her, "I want to go to my Baptist church." She said, "No, you're still me. You're going to my church." He said, "Yesterday she was gone. I walked downtown and bought me a brand new car." He said, "I hid it out back where she couldn't see it. She's sleeping this morning, and I escaped." 92 years of age. I wish more people would escape to come to church. That fellow had a love for his church. He was faithful. I'm sure he's in heaven by now. He told me, left. He said, "Now, Reverend, I probably better not come tonight because I have another wreck that'll take my license." But he escaped. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Don't forsake the assembling yourselves together as the manner some is." So we're to be faithful in church attendance. Secondly, we'll be faithful in our giving. Leviticus 27:30 says, "The tithe is the Lord's." The tithe is the Lord's. One-tenth of our income belongs to God. He gives you power to get wealth. He gives you strength to work. The tithe belongs to God. And I couldn't help but notice, reading that in Leviticus 27:30, it's called holy money. It's holy. If you take your tithe and go out here at McDonald's, you're spending holy money at McDonald's. If you're at Walmart with it and spend it, you're spending holy money in Walmart. The holy money belongs here in God's house. Pay for the lights, the heat. Praise God for heat. You might as well be like, I was in a church years ago that had a big pot-belly stove in the middle, and it was cold. I preached my overcoat on. I wanted to put my hat on, so that wasn't appropriate. I had some hair back then, so I said a little warmer. But be faithful in our giving. Be faithful in prayer. I've already mentioned this. Pray without ceasing. It'd be an attitude of prayer continually. Be faithful in Bible study. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study shows thyself proven unto God, of work need not be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth." Do you realize there's some Christians, I hope not here, that's never once read the Bible through? Not even one time. I met a preacher once. He called himself a preacher. And he finally admitted to me he had never read the Bible through. I said, "What do you preach? What do you preach?" I preached the book of Song of Solomon once. But somebody told me she didn't know that was in the Bible. It's been there all the time. I didn't just put it there. Read the book. A chapter a day. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. A chapter a day helps keep the devil away. 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, and you're through the Bible in less than a year. Read the book. Be faithful in your Bible. Be faithful in witnessing. Be faithful in your work at the church. Now, witnessing, maybe I want to hurry on, but maybe spend a little time on this. Sometimes you get discouraged, don't you? You talk to this person, "Nah, I don't want to hear that. Give them a track, "No, I don't want that." And you get discouraged. There was a fellow down in Mobile, Alabama, where I grew up. His name was Ed Strong. He was an automobile mechanic, a big fellow, about 6'5", maybe 250 pounds. But what he'd do, he'd pick out an unsaved man, and he'd visit that fellow. Now, I probably wouldn't do this. He'd visit him every week and talk to him about the Lord. I ran around with a boy named H.B. Owen. His dad was H.B. Owen Sr. We was over going to go to a basketball game. We was there on Thursday night, 7 o'clock. We got ready to leave, and H.B. Sr. said, "Well, Ed Strong knocked on that door in about 10 minutes. That's what he means. Said, "He's knocked on that door every Thursday night for the last year." So I told his son, I said, "Let's wait and see." They met at church, 7 o'clock. They prayed and left the church. It took him about 9 minutes to get to the house. So sure enough, 10 after, there's Ed Strong. He said, HB, I came to talk to you about the Lord again. Over a year, every night he kept after that fellow. Now his wife, good Christian lady, told me the story later on. I was already preaching now. And she said, one night he knocked on that door, came in, just presented the plan of salvation to HB. So he got up and left, and HB was just sitting there in that chair. Just sitting there. Finally he said, that's the brightest light I've ever seen. She said, there's nothing wrong with the lamp. And all of a sudden it dawned on her. I said, what are you talking about? I said, what Ed Strong told me. It's the brightest light I've ever seen. Man, she grabbed her Bible, got him down his knees, and led him to the Lord. But it took Ed Strong time after time. I'd have given up. I'm sure I'd have quit. But we aren't not to. As long as they're alive, there's hope of getting them saved. I almost gave up on my one brother, but I led him to the Lord before he died. So we can't quit. We've got to keep on witnessing. What produced Billy Sunday? I'm going to mention Chapman, but what got him saved? A group of young people singing on the street in a street meeting. What produced D.O. Moody? A Sunday school teacher who went to a place where he worked and led him to the Lord. So we can't give up. So be faithful in these areas of your life. I haven't touched everything. Be faithful as a Christian in your testimony. Be faithful in how you dress, how you talk, how you walk. By the way, the insert in the bulletin there, you ought to read that about the computer. You ought to be careful of that. It can be a great blessing. It can be a great curse in your home. That's a very excellent article. I read that this morning when I first got here. That's excellent. Take it home and read it. Be faithful as a Christian in your testimony. All right, secondly, don't be hindered by others. Satan will use other people to hinder you. Satan uses people. I mark that in your mind. The devil uses people. Now, when he wanted to destroy Job, what did he use? People. When he wanted to discourage Job, what did he use? His friends. Three friends came and discouraged him. If that didn't work, what else did he use? His wife. Don't be discouraged by other people. The devil uses people. If others are not faithful, we have to be faithful. Paul could have gotten discouraged with Demas, when John Mark left, when Barnabas, and he had a big disagreement, when Peter separated from the Gentiles, he could have got discouraged. But he didn't. He didn't. Before he died, he said, I was faithful to that holy calling. I was faithful to my calling. So you be faithful. No matter what others do, what others say, what they don't do, what they don't say. If no one else goes visiting, you go. If no one else teaches, you teach. If no one else prays, you pray. If no one else sings, you sing. If no one else tithes, you tithe. Don't let others rob you of God's blessings of faithfulness. You be faithful. And thirdly, don't hinder others by your lack of faithfulness. Don't hinder others. Here's a little saying. You live right, so others might. You live right, so others might. I want to tell you about a man. Our church has a, Pastor Cobb will be here tomorrow. We have a monthly men's prayer meeting. On a morning, we gather at 8 o'clock. We pray till about 9, then we go and have lunch together, then we go out visiting. But men's prayer meeting, it's been going on for many years. We had a big, long list. I mean, it was big, of people to pray for. And pass out that list, and different ones take with different lists. There was a man on that list named Jeff Boathouse. And I prayed for that man when I was home, maybe for 3 or 4 years. We had a revival meeting, and several people came forward, and we had personal workers. And I'm not there very often, so they usually get one of the personal workers to deal with the person. I'm sitting way on the other side over here, and this man came forward, and one of the personal workers came up and preached, says, no, he's on Brother Foot. So I came over, I didn't know who the fellow was. We got on our knees. Very intelligent man. I mean, I don't know why the preacher called me. The fellow was very intelligent. So he started putting on different excuses. I said, bring him right back to the Scriptures. And he'd say this, I'd bring him right back to the Scriptures. And finally, he got to the place where he was broken down. He prayed and asked God to forgive him his sin, come to his heart and save him. So I got the little slip, and I said, now, what's your name? He said, Jeff Boathouse. I said, "Mister, I've been praying for you for years." Now, you'd have to live down south and understand what happened next. His kids were over in the kids' meetings. His wife came forward and started crying. The kids came over and they were all crying and they were rejoicing. I think he even shouted a couple times down there. It was a great thing to see that man saved after all these years. Now, in Canaan Baptist Church, in fact, two or three of them laying there now. We had some men, boy, they would praise God, amen, always give them testimony. And a couple of them sitting around where Jeff Holt House was. Praise God, amen. This one fellow even shouted a couple of them. Man, it's great to know the Lord. Well, back in those days, we had a Thursday night visitation. And Jeff Holt House got saved. He told the preacher, "I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to join the church. I'm going to do everything I can in the church." So I was home for a week. Came Thursday night visitation, about 2 weeks after Jeff had gotten saved. So I came out to visitation. There's me and the pastor, one of the deacons, one other fellow in Jeff Boathouse. And we sat there talking about who are we going to visit. Jeff, I'm not forget, just looking around. He said, "Where are the men? Where's that guy that sits there and says amen? Where's this guy? Where's that one?" You know what? That man got discouraged. He left the church and joined another church. He said, "I don't want to be around hypocrites. They're all praise God on service, but outside the service, when it comes to serving God, they don't do a thing." They discouraged that man from serving the Lord. You live right that others might. Don't discourage people for your lack of faithfulness. I'll close this illustration. I see we're about out of time. This happened in Baltimore, Maryland, years ago. Now, this would tell you it was a long time ago. You've probably seen pictures of these guys playing these things with a monkey there with his cup out. That's not just fiction. That used to really happen. It was outside of a hotel in Baltimore, Maryland. This fellow was sitting there, and he was playing Stars and Stripes Forever, and he was butchering it. Well, John Philip Sousa happened to be staying in the hotel. He came and heard it and said, "Good grief." He said, went over and said, "Mister, if you're going to play my song, play it like this." He grabbed that thing, man. He cranked that out. Crowd gathered around. And the fellow got a lot of money that day. Well, the next day, when John Philip Sousa was coming to church, or going to the hotel, the fellow was doing a little bit better, not a lot better. But a big crowd was around. He thought, "Well, he's not doing that. He goes, why are they gathering there?" He looked at the fellow, had a big sign up that said, "I'm a student of John Philip Sousa." It had one lesson. You know, we don't have to have a big sign on us saying, "My student of Jesus Christ." We don't have to have other people say, "I wonder if they're a Christian. I wonder if they're saved. Well, they go to church now and then." But we are to be faithful. We are to be faithful. We are to be, what's our four words? First word, we are to be what? Firm. That's unswerving. Second, we ought to be staunch, stubborn about what we believe. Now, don't be stubborn about some things, but be stubborn about what this book says. Stubborn about what the book says. And then we ought to be steadfast, not wishy-washy. Too many Christians are like that. And then we ought to have a determination that the world, the flesh, the devil, friends, neighbors, no one can break down. You're going to stand firm on what you believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're not all talented. We're not all have the money we can give that we'd like to. We can all do a lot of things we'd like to do, but we can all be faithful. And I pray that everyone in this class may have a new determination to have a resolution in our hearts, in our mind, in our life that cannot be broken down. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.